Public hearing on the 2021 tax rate. So we'll call Somerville County Water District to order and go to consent agreement there.
There's nothing on the consent agenda other than the minutes of last meeting.
Make a motion, we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second. Got a motion, second to approve the minutes from last meeting. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye, have it. Little tab two.
Tab two is the tax rate, final setting of the tax rate for tax year 2021. You may remember at our last meeting, we got notice from the appraisal district that our rollback rate was 0.1259. Y'all set the proposed tax rate at that 0.1259. Because that was our rollback rate. We had wanted it to be at 0.129 again, but we were forced down to that 0.259. Well, about we were getting ready to run our ad, and Wes sent over a revised estimate of what our rollback rate was, and they had made a mistake. Our rollback rate was actually 0.124. So we ran our ad at the 0.124 because I knew y'all's intent was to set it at the rollback rate, but our rollback rate dropped from 0.1259 to 0.124. So we actually ran the ad at 0.124, which, just a hair lower. That's what we're asking you to set the tax rate at, 0.124, because that is our actual rollback rate for the year.
It won't throw a shark in any particular area.
You know, I think they had just made a mistake in their in the calculations. It's real complicated. If you look at that backup form, it's just difficult for them to calculate. We're the only taxing entity that gets calculated based on our average appraised value. You know, all the other ones, they just go off percentages, and ours is difficult to calculate. They actually had, they had calculated it at that 0.159. I had it calculated at 1.124 to start with, but they convinced me the 1.259 was correct. But their attorney, they sent it to the attorney. The attorney's looked it over, and he agreed with me. He agreed that the rollback was actually 0.124. That's what it is. It's going to cost us about $126,000 for the year to lower it from where we had wanted it to be. We raised our rates and fees enough to recover that amount. So it's not going to, money-wise, it's not going to affect us. But being at 0.124, it's next year, it'll be hard for us to go back up to where we were at. Matter of fact, the way real estate's in the price, the value of real estate's increasing right now, we're probably going to be forced down even lower next year if real estate keeps going up.
It's going to go up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's just a factor of how we're, our rate's calculated, how the tax, it's actually the water code requires us to calculate it that way. And if you want to, I'll go through this thing and explain to you how it's done, or you can just read it. But that's the worksheet for setting it, and it's.
Well, we have to set it according to their calculation.
Well, we can set it higher than that. You can set it wherever you want to. But if we set it higher than that 0.124, all it takes is one person to ask for a rollback election, and we're having an election.
I think that this would be our best course of action because it would create any confusion among the taxpayers.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's really not enough. It's in my mind, it's not enough money to
no.
to yeah. risk having to have an election over.
I make a motion we set the tax rate at 1.124.
A second.
Okay, we have a motion to second, set the tax rate at 1.124. Any further questions or answers? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Ayes have it.
Tab three, Yellow Viking Solar Farms. This is Scott Deathridge. He's the legal counsel for the Yellow Viking Solar Farm. He's going to do a presentation to you guys and ask for a tax abatement. I haven't heard the presentation. I know the county. I think the school district, you've already negotiated something with the school district, and they've already negotiated something with the county on a tax exemption, and now you're hitting the other. You're going to do the hospital district as well, or?
We're trying to let them get through to them.
Yeah.
Is approved by the other boards, or?
You know, I don't know. I mean, can you give us enough? Can you tell us where you're at? I don't think the county has actually done final approval yet.
So let me give you a little background on the company, and I'm a lawyer in Dallas. I represent. I've worked with big law firms for 28 years and decided that was punishment enough and went out on my own. And have represented solar developers and wind companies. And in my background, I did a lot of environmental law, worked for oil companies, refiners, chemical companies, banks, real estate developers. And so one of the things that the people don't really understand, and when the former superintendent Rotan was with the school board, when we first started speaking with him, he says, as a school district, we love wind and solar farms because they don't cost us any money, but they bring us money. And so he said when he was in West Texas, some of the wind farms out there really provided the funds because they just didn't have any other economic development. And so, you know, people don't talk about wind and solar as being rural economic development programs, but they really are. And I know some rural county is very fortunate in terms of in spending a lot of time with Judge Danny Chambers. We understand you all get a lot of your property taxes from the nuclear plant. That's a very fortunate thing that a lot of other counties don't have, because we spend a lot of time with Hood County, because this solar farm is going to extend into both counties. And the good news for the school district is it extends into both counties. And so we just have one school district, even though we're in two counties. So all of the taxes that will be gleaned from the project are all going to go to the school district. One school district, that's the Glen Rose ISD. But little background on the company. I've worked for all sizes of solar developers, from the 2 to 6 person group to the very large. And this is Yellow Viking is a subsidiary of a Danish company called European Energy. So they're very well funded. They not only develop projects, but they provide the funding to actually build them and then operate them. So this isn't two guys in a garage coming out here and say, oh, we're going to build this solar farm and don't have the financial wherewithal. These people are going to build it. In fact, rather than leasing the land, they actually have purchased the land. So they spent a little over $4 million and have already bought the land for the solar farms. So they've already made a substantial financial commitment to the two counties to build the solar farm. So to look at where we are vis-a-vis the two counties, we have already negotiated, and Hood County has voted on a tax abatement agreement. So that's all been done. We are in the last approach with the school district. We've submitted our application. It's been approved by the school board. It's gone down to the Texas the comptroller's office. They've reviewed it and given us a certification letter. And so we have to do the final negotiations for an agreement with the school district, and then it will be voted on and finalized. With respect to Somerville County, we spent a lot of time talking to Judge Chambers, and we have negotiated an agreement, which I had sent to Kevin. You all may have a copy.
It's in the packet there.
So we negotiated that. It'll be voted on September 30th at one of the county commissioners' meetings. And so we're very, very hopeful that will pass. And so through this process of seeking abatements, we generally start with the counties and the school boards, and then reach out to the other taxing authorities, whether it be a water district or the county hospital district, and ask for a similar tax abatement as to what the county gave. And that's up to you all to obviously provide a tax abatement or to go with what the county did or come up with something different. And so our pitch to you is, again, we bring additional tax money to you without asking for any expense on your part. Some companies who come in and look for tax abatements are also asking for financial commitments. For example, if we were to build a factory and we, you know, I was talking, you know, on another project with a county, and they said, yeah, we put in this factory, but then we had to build the roads, we had to build the water, we had to build pipelines, and so there was a lot of money they had to put into the project, whereas with this project, we're not asking for any money from you, but we can provide additional tax benefit to you. We're looking at spending about $70 million in each county, roughly. We are actually looking at expanding the project. We're looking at leasing additional lands. And so we may have, if this project goes forward, we get the tax abatements, we may be looking at phases 2 and 3, because we really think this area, which hasn't been used for solar farms, we believe has all of the electricity lines because of the nuclear plant. There are a lot of transmission lines, and so we believe there's sufficient capacity there to build these solar farms and deliver the electricity. And we're so close to Dallas where all the electrical load demand is, and so we think this is these counties, Hood and Somerville, are really good places for solar development. So we don't interfere with housing developments or anything. There's no emissions. There's no, you know, you can't see us like a wind farm. A lot of people don't want to look at wind farms. You know, you don't see a whole lot because we're not very tall. And so that's what we'd like to do here in Somerville County is build the second half of the project that we've had approved in Hood County.
So you are asking for a tax abatement against the taxes of the water district?
Correct, yeah.
Tell me how that would be in conflict with our largest taxpayer here in the nuclear plant.
How would it be in conflict?
They pay a lot of the taxes in this district. If we give you an abatement, what's going to keep them?
Well, from talking to Judge Chambers, he says they've worked out, and they may have actually been in some litigation over taxes, and I understand they had some sort of tax abatement when they first started. I don't know if they're currently receiving any taxes. Usually, when you have a tax abatement, it can only last for 10 years. And so if the nuclear plant had any tax abatements in the early years, I'm not sure that they can get any further tax abatements. So I don't know if there's any conflict. And Judge Chambers
didn't ask. I don't think there's any conflict between the two of you. I'm just saying how it'd be in conflict with us giving you an abatement and them coming to us and asking for an abatement from the first.
Well, what I'm saying is if they had a tax abatement early on, you may not be able to do that. If they already had a tax abatement.
I don't know if they...
But that may depend on whether you had it with your group.
I don't know if they had a tax abatement early on. I mean, whenever they started that plan, it was before deregulation, and I doubt that they had a tax abatement, but I don't know.
And I don't know the answer to that, but I guess they could, yeah.
Well, we had 3 years ago that they...
Go ahead. What's that?
For their... They set the tax rate with the nuclear plant, and we set it for 3 years. Was that not?
No, yeah, we did. I mean, we agreed on a value. After the lawsuit, we agreed on a value for 3 years. That 3 years has expired.
They filed a lawsuit.
Yeah, we're not we're not going by that agreement anymore. We're just reassessing it every year now again.
So would that not Maurice is talking about.
Yeah, I don't think that really, that really doesn't affect, you know, this, these guys, this deal.
Are you using this template you've used here with Hood County, the first year 75%, the second year 70? Is everybody doing similar in Hood County?
Yeah, it's very similar, in fact.
And they've passed that in Hood County?
Yeah, that was voted on.
And this is what you're asking for from the school here and from the county?
Well, so the school district is a wholly different statutes. It's done differently. So I'm trying to remember what they're exact.
I'll tell you what Rotan's told. I talked to Wayne about it, and he told me. He negotiated it, I guess, before he retired. You know, with the school district, since they're Chapter 49, they're at a point and have been at a point for a long time for any extra, any additional value that they get to the tax base. It just goes to the state.
So
it's overflow to them. So it does, additional tax value doesn't help them at all. They negotiated a deal where I think you are just giving a lump sum amount of money to the school district in lieu of taxes.
For how long a period?
It's a 10-year program.
Yeah.
And the school district's a little different because, as Rotan explained to us, he said, if we do this deal with you, the extra money goes to us,
right,
being the school district, not
instead of the state.
Yeah. So it's a little bit, as he explained it, of a way of, you know, the extra money comes in, and they can bring it in to the school district, but it's a totally different statute, different system. It's really, rather than an abatement, it limits the value of your taxable value.
We're a low tax county overall, mm-hmm, compared to Johnson and Hood, a combined tax rate, I see no incentive to give any abatements. We're still a cheaper tax rate than you'll get from HUD when the abatements are gone.
Yeah, let me just explain. So we're building solar farms. We compete with all the other solar farms across the state of Texas because we live in a highly deregulated market, and so
absolutely
all of the solar farms are competing in the same electricity market.
Right.
And so a lot of the counties that are more rural and farther from the big cities, like you go another couple hundred miles, you know, those rates may be higher or lower. It just depends.
Right.
So what we're trying to get is at a level we're about the same as our competitors.
Right.
And so most of the counties where solar farms are built, they're getting a tax abatement from the county, the water district,
right,
the hospital district. And so we're trying to get a place where we can equally compete with those,
absolutely,
those solar farms.
When I first heard about this, I mean, this has been in the works for a year or so. Johnson County was involved at that point, weren't they?
Yeah, Johnson County, we have a little pieces in Johnson County, but they decided not to go forward, so we probably won't build the solar farm in that county. But that was a tough county because our value was so low we couldn't qualify for the school district. And so without the school district and without the county, it's just not, we can't build there, it's not economic. So we won't build them. I think we'll build the smaller piece that was in Johnson County. And Johnson County's got a lot of other tax base. Louis Vuitton just built a plant there. And I don't think they see the need for any additional taxing money. And so
we're more similar to Johnson County, I would think, than we are to Hood County in that respect, in that we have a lot more tax base well.
You said you've already bought 1,100 acres, 1,200 acres, 1,187?
Roughly, yeah.
You're saying you've got an option on that land, or you've bought that land?
We own it.
Well, no. Oh, what percent of that land is in Somerville County?
About half.
So approximately 600 acres of this is in Somerville County. Okay.
Well, actually,
$700-something, right?
A little bit less than half, because there's a smaller piece in Johnson County.
Yeah, so about 500 acres.
$600 acres.
That's what stayed.
Yeah.
And I'm curious as to the location of that, because kind of getting to what you're mentioning, Lee, we have so much development potential, too. You have to weigh the highest value of the land, you know, what the potential use is. We're going to, if this is prime residential development land, it's more than likely to be developed into a subdivision in the next few years where...
Is that out in the Fort Spunky kind of area?
It's in the area where all the transmission lines are, so it'd be a little tough for residential development. I don't know the exact...
It's out...
But it's in an area where you've got a lot of transmission.
It's out there in the Fort Spunky area. It's out there past, it's, you know, it's out there past where they're doing all that sand, all that sand.
I know where that county land is running back down.
Because you know, a sand pit, as much as I detest the look of them, you know, they bring in money.
Yeah. Didn't, now, Judge Chambers told me that, I mean, they've been negotiating with you guys over this quite a while, and I think that he told me y'all conceded to put some equipment in Somerville County that was not subject to the abatement.
So we agreed to put our substation. So substations, you may know, you've seen them with the big, you know, all the electrical equipment. That's where the electricity goes in, is it's upgraded and put on the transmission line. That's about a $20-25 million investment. And so we agreed to move that. If we could put it in Hood or Somerville County, we agreed to put that in Somerville County. And that was part of the negotiation with Judge Chambers, was to put that in. And then part of that will be actually owned by Encore, which we don't believe would have any sort of tax abatement. And so there's additional money that will come to the county from that, plus our portion we own. We will pay taxes on that, but that'll be subject to the county tax abatement. So that's another, in addition to the $20 million, there may be another approximately $20 million, so about $90 million.
So you're talking $90 million is the build out?
Roughly, yeah.
Over what period of time?
So we will have to, I think we have to complete construction agreement with Somerville County by the end of 2024.
And of that $90 million, what percent of it will be in Somerville County?
All of it.
So that means none in Hood County?
There's about $70 million in Hood County.
So it's a total project of $160 million.
$160 to $200 million. Yeah.
$200 million. So it's going to be pretty much equally, the improvements equal in both counties.
Roughly equal, plus the $20 million additional. Yeah, some of
this. What's the depreciation rate? A schedule on those solar panels?
The state rate is a 10-year depreciation schedule.
It's 10-year depreciation. So when
it drops down to 20%, and then it's 20% for the life of the property.
So basically, at the end of this abatement, you're at 20%.
Right.
The same as what you're getting to 75, dropping to a 30 over a six-year period. Mm-hmm. So. The same amount of taxation we get in the first year will be the same amount of taxation you get in year seven, and for the rest of the life of it. They've got it set up where it covers 20% taxation for the entire life of it, from year one to however many years it lasts. How long do you project a solar panel lasts?
Well, warranties on solar panels are 20 to 25 years. Most of the projects are planned at least 30-year lifetime.
Yeah. So this is really a pinnacle deal. You got a $70 million project that has 20% taxation from day one to forever and ever. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, if they depreciate them out in a 10-year period, and then they start at 75%, go to 30, which is very clever. I'm not criticizing you for doing it. I'm just saying, from the tax revenue side, it's nothing.
Well, and basically what we did with Judge Chambers is we went back and forth on percentages. We just said, well, how much money do you need to make this project work for you? And then we back calculated using the spreadsheet for what he wanted and that, and we added the substation, that got him to a rough dollar figure, because you can play around with these numbers on percentages, but what I said in one of the meetings, I said, well, Judge Chambers, let's talk dollars, and then let's talk about percentages over time, and so we worked it out as how much money he needed, and we added, you know, by adding the substation where we got roughly the amount of money he needed over a, you know, his 10 then 30 year period.
Well, I think at best we need to have some counsel on this myself.
Sure, absolutely.
We're not playing with our money, we're playing with the county, with the tax layer in this county. We just want to make sure that the deal is equal across the board to everyone.
Sure. And you know, what we're really saying is, look, if we come here, it's all net benefit to the county. We're not asking for any money from the
absolutely.
Well, I understand that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, finally, you know, we have to make this economic, because all the other solar farms and wind farms and across the state are getting the same deal. Yeah. And so if we can't get the same deal, we can't build it here.
You're just trying to provide a cheaper source of energy.
Right.
And there, of course, it's not been in conflict with our other entities.
Absolutely. And what we told Judge Chambers is, you know, we want to make a deal with you that works for Somerville County, because we recognize Somerville County is different because of the nuclear plant and because of your development. You're different than other counties. You're very different from Hood County. You're very different from Johnson County. And so if we can make something work for you, we want to do that. We don't want you to do anything that's going to hurt you, hurt your water customers. And so that's how we got down to it. I said, Judge, tell us how much money you need. And, you know, we like to have the abatements early in the process, because early in the process, you know, to get the federal tax credits we get, there are owners who come in and take those credits, and then so we're not making very much money in the first 5 years. And so he agreed to do that, and that's also what Hood County did.
What percent federal tax credits on solar panels? Is it like wind? Is it 50%?
It's it's declining right now, so it'd be about 22% by the time we build it.
22%
on capital costs.
Yeah, is that considered into the 90 million, or is that
no? That, well, that's we get a tax credit for that, but it your value is still 90 million.
Right.
So it doesn't.
It's still low income tax, and they sell those at a discounted rate, and get immediate cash for that to put back into.
In other words, the subsidy that will go to you from the government.
Correct.
Yes.
Now, at some point, unless it's renewed, that will actually go away. Well, we'll get down to 10%.
Yeah.
So we're in a little bit of a challenge of timing on that. But we can do things to start construction early enough.
That locks it in?
Yeah.
Very good.
There's a safe harbor to start construction by some time.
Sounds like a great project.
I'm just curious as to the infrastructure required for such a facility. I mean, are there roads? Or I mean, I'm sure you have basic construction of water and restrooms.
We
workers there.
Workers can come and go. They don't need an on-site facility.
They don't stay.
Don't really need restrooms on site. I mean, our biggest infrastructure is obviously the electricity lines.
Right.
That's like our pipeline to get
to
our customers.
Yeah.
So the added infrastructure will be the solar farm. Do you all know basically what a solar farm is? I may have should have started. It's basically steel posts that are driven in the ground, and you have these solar panels that sit on top, and then they get extra money. They're what's called a tracker. So it's a single axis tracker. So it'll start in the morning facing east, and it slowly moves to the west, and so you're tracking the sun from east to west. And that adds about 20% of electricity to the project.
I'm just curious as to the neighborhood and why, you know, you're going to be, things like that that would impact beyond your fence line.
Right, so the only other thing we need is obviously roads to get there, but I think, as I understand it, the roads to get there are adequate. And then within the property, we will have to build.
Right.
Because I don't know what existing roads there are, but usually you have to build roads for construction and to get to and from the panels just to do, you have to wash them occasionally and then maintain them, but they don't take a whole lot of maintenance over time.
I mean, you kill a bunch of birds that they roost on them and things like that?
No, not really. You know, you hear about solar farm killing birds. I think there's one in the United States where they have these mirrors. They shine it on a central pole and that heats up water. This isn't that. These are just the panels you might see on a house that just sit there and soak up the sun and produce electricity. So there's not a lot of bird deaths. But one of the things we have to do is we have to conduct a study of all the birds and species and show that we're not killing, you know, trees that are habitat for certain endangered species, but there's not a lot of endangered species in this county, so
there's quite a few.
We'll have a problem.
Do you have anything to do with the solar farm at Anson?
Mm-mm.
They just keep building on that one. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
Not there.
To me, it seems like the land in Anson would be much more better suited than Somerville County land for a solar farm. I'm surprised that the highest and best use value of that property is as a solar farm rather than as a residential property.
I think the problem with houses is you're going to have to stare at those power lines and poles.
Yeah, that's
really and your proximity to the Metroplex is a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, because that's a big end user.
Well, and the power lines open, evidently, for the
room
pick the electricity up from.
Exactly.
And the person we bought the land for had it for sale for a long time and didn't have.
That's the old Rock place.
I guess. Mm-hmm.
I know where that is. Right out there, about Bernard Knopf.
So it was on the market for a while.
Yeah, so it got a good land price.
And we went round with the landowner for about a year and then finally bought the land. So it was sort of on and off. And that's one of the reasons this took so long is we had some issues with the landowner. The deal kind of fell apart and so we pulled back. And then, you know as land deals go, people are in different positions about offers and how much it's worth. And then finally, the parties worked it out after, three to four months of between, a little cooling off period. Then we went back and finished the deal and we bought it. So
what do you think we need to do? Table this until we can do some due diligence?
I didn't put a recommendation on it because I thought at a minimum you would want to wait and see what the county ends up doing since the county hasn't officially struck their deal yet. But, it's up to y'all to decide what y'all want to do.
Yeah,
I'd like to research whether the PAC plant has had their abatement or not.
Right.
That's a good point.
And really, all what I want to do is introduce the concept to you, begin discussions. Yeah. I didn't expect you to say, "Oh, Scott here, pat on the back, go on, tell your clients everything." So happy to work with Kevin or others, any of you to provide information. If you want to look at spreadsheets about what we've done on. The abatements over time. We did a lot of work with both counties providing spreadsheets going back and forth, and certainly happy and would expect to you all to have your counsel and study this. And so we just wanted to introduce ourselves today and the concept.
Well, I think that'd be a good idea on both parties because we don't want to enter into anything that would be wrong for the rest of the county or for you. So I make a motion that we table it until further study.
Second.
Got a motion and second. Any further? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposition. Motion carried. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for your time.
Thanks, Scott.
You're safe.
Thank you.
All right.
Appraisal district nominations. We Some years we do this, some years we don't. Wes had asked me, he's afraid that some of the other taxing entities may not, with what's going on with the virus, they may not have meetings, and just wants to make sure that he has a slate of candidates for the appraisal district board. And what he's asked me to do is at least have asked you guys to nominate four of the existing appraisal district board members: Nemo Britton, Wade Bush, Brady Brown, and Bill Moore. They're losing one board member, and I've talked to Kelly Snodgrass. Kelly sounds like he'd probably be willing to serve on that board. He got off the school board. He's getting ready to retire. He hadn't said no yet, but anyway, if he does say no, you know, he won't get any votes. Well, they'll find somebody else, but I think that's a good slate of candidates. I assume that Wes talked to Nemo. Are you willing to serve again? And I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone. If y'all agree to put forth this slate of nominees, I'm asking you to go ahead and allow me to cast all of our votes toward Nemo whenever election time comes.
I so move.
Second.
Got a motion, second.
I'm all behind Nemo.
Anybody that likes to hear that kind of complaint, I'm for them.
All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried.
We sent the letter to the city of Glen Rose. Have not heard a word out of them. I don't think they've met since they got that letter. They're having a meeting tomorrow evening, and they do have their attorney that they've hired for annexation issues. They're meeting with that attorney tomorrow, so I suspect maybe after tomorrow's meeting we may hear something.
You don't know if it's on their agenda, though.
I would read the packet, and that's one that I was going to say. After our last meeting, I read the packet for the following meeting, and it was certainly misrepresented you, the report that the administrator presented to council in his written form. Did not represent what you told us at the last meeting, and that made me mad. So I haven't read what tomorrow's agenda item's going to be.
Good.
But it might be more, it was not accurate what was told.
Really? I didn't read that.
Were you saying after they had received the letter?
I'm saying what he submitted to last month's council meeting, and it written in the packet that went to the council that's online, it stated that the water district was avoiding meeting with them and such, and that, you know, it kind of put the monkey on Kevin and
we're not negotiating with
that. That we have not responded.
When did that letter go out?
And so
it went out
the day after the
meeting. The meeting was the 9th, so it probably went out the 9th or 10th.
Yeah, I think it went out the next day.
Okay.
Yeah, and that packet was done, you know, got all before we met.
Certified.
But anyway, it was incorrect.
I quit reading everybody. I get mad every time I read your packets, because
I just didn't say anything.
I like to stay away from those kind of things.
It's just petty.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they're actually meeting with the attorney, so they'll get some advice from their attorney on what's been going on, and hopefully it's a little more objective than what they've been getting. I got October board meeting. You know, right now I don't know of anything that we have to have a meeting on in October, so unless something comes up, you know, we probably won't be meeting in October, but I'll let you guys know if something comes up.
That meeting date's a holiday too.
It would be the third weekend if we do, yeah.
Okay, so we may not have to meet in October. Something did come up that I think that I'd like to maybe meet on, and I think we can talk about it in just the discussion, but Falcon Ridge. You know, several years ago, you guys, we had that well lot right at the front entrance of Falcon Ridge. It's that red barn out there. You know, it's a pretty decent looking barn. Y'all had decided that we would donate that to the Homeowners Association if they wanted it. And I approached the Homeowners Association and asked them if they wanted that thing. And the guy that was running the Homeowners Association said, he came back after a few days and he said, you know, the Homeowners Association doesn't want it, but me and my wife will take it. And I said, well, that's not what we offered. But anyway, for 2 years, he'd been trying to talk, you know, he tried to talk me into just giving it to him and his wife. And we didn't, because that's not what you'd agreed to do. But anyway, nothing ever came of that. One of the reasons that I was wanting to get rid of it in that manner was because it was a little bit less than an acre. And at the time, you couldn't build a house on anything less than an acre. And that's since changed. Now it's half an acre. So, you know, that piece of property, we can actually sell it. We can put it on the market. We could sell it as a residential tract if y'all so wanted to. And so next time we have a meeting, I'm gonna probably put that on the agenda. The Homeowners Association there, I talked to them last week. They still don't want the property. They don't have the use for it. They don't want to pay taxes on it. They don't want to pay to maintain it. And I think that they would probably be fine with us selling it and, you know, just letting somebody build a house on it like every other lot in that subdivision. So, you know, and right there, there's never been a better time to sell residential lots than right now. So y'all may want to consider doing that rather than you know, just continuing to maintain it. We don't really have a use for it, do we? I mean, we probably store a little bit of stuff in that building, but it's not worth the maintenance that we have to provide to keep that place up. I mean, we got to mow it all summer long. Right now, that building needs painting. The Homeowner Association is asking us to paint it, and I will go ahead and get it painted because it's starting to look bad. But I think that, you know, we might be able to just paint that building up and get it in good shape, mow it up, and stick a for sale sign on there or listed, and maybe get rid, move on from it.
That's a pretty well built building.
It is a pretty good building. It's surprising how much money they spent on that building just as a subdivision entrance. But it's a nice building. It's just a storage building, basically. It's a kind of a goofy lot. It's long and skinny. It's only 100 feet deep and by 400 feet long, but it's 0.9 acres. So it's, you know, it's bigger than your average city lot. But I think that, you know, we may be able to do something like that with it. But next time we do meet, it's in November, I'll put it on the agenda and y'all can have a formal discussion on it. Waterline extension update. If you'll look at page 3 of that, you can kind of see where we're at.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Back to that. Is would that lot fall under the homeowner?
You know, I don't think. On the plat, it's described as a well lot. It's not numbered. You know, lot, and then it goes lot 1 through 50 there. I don't think it's subject to the Homeowners Association restrictions, but that. One of the things that y'all might want to talk about, in order to get the Homeowners Association on board, we might tell them that we would make it subject to all of their Homeowners Association restrictions and allow them.
You can take another approach too and say that, you know, it's not restricted by that. That's the reason they should probably go ahead and buy it.
But yeah. If it was a flat.
For somebody.
Yeah, and then they can figure out.
Double wides on it.
Well, they might, but yeah.
They won't put 4 double wides on there.
If we don't do something, somebody's liable to drag a single wide up there on it, and that would be terrible right there at their entrance.
It would be not too good, but it's not our problem.
Yeah.
They need to figure out what to do with their own lot.
When the plat is submitted to the county, they have to put in the HOA and all that stuff, and it would apply to the plat. And so, to me, it would have to apply.
I haven't done research on it. But
if it's a platted subdivision of the county, the rules that it was established under apply to all the properties within. So So we don't have a choice, I don't think.
Yeah, that, but you're probably right on that. Like I said, I haven't looked at the at the deed restrictions on it and seen, but I would, that may be the case. Anyway, page 3 of that of our report, if you'll see, if you look down there, about 2/3 down the page, you'll see where we're at. We're right below where it says subtotal on County Road 321, Phase 1. That's underway. That's this county road just the other side of the lake over here where Dr. Snyder, Dr. Schmidt used to live over there. We're finally getting water on that. We had to come in from the backside to get it done, but we've got water going in on that. That's going to finish us up for this year's budget. Those next two jobs after it, County Road 1007 and County Road 412, probably what we're going to do on those two, and you can look at them. I mean, that's two pretty good sized jobs. That's, over $500,000. We're probably going to, the contract that we've got right now ends October 1st, and we're locked in at a really good pipe price. Pipe has gone up 4, 5, 6 times probably since we started this contract. So pipe's way up. And we're never going to get as good a value for construction prices as we've got right now. So I'm thinking about go ahead and issue a notice to proceed to the CJB contractor to do those two roads. And they'll end up having to do them after the first of the year. They'll do them after their contract expires. But if I issue one notice to proceed, I've got them under contract to finish those two jobs. And that way we get this year's prices. It'll probably take them till next spring to get those done. So they'll I can keep
working. If you do that, are they willing participants?
They're willing to do it because their manufacturer is under
is locked in. So
as
they're good to go.
Yeah, as a matter of fact,
you certainly can't squeeze them and make them eat all.
No, they approached Jan and said, hey,
suggested doing this.
Yeah, they said, hey man, if y'all want us to keep doing it this price, get it ordered. Yeah, get it ordered. So yeah, they're willing participants.
So that's cool. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. All right. So I'll go ahead and do that, and that way we won't have to rebid our contract till those two jobs get close to
finished. Then get us through the spring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. The next thing on the agenda, and you know what, we do that every year when we get close to the end of our budget. I've never done it with that much pipe before. I mean, that's 2 miles of pipe that we're going to get them to put in. But we always do it. We always give them a notice to proceed that carries us well into the next budget. But this year we're going to do more than we normally do. next thing you've got is our bank account balances. You can see we're for this time of year in pretty good shape. Over $2 million still in the operating fund. We've only got less than a month to go in our fiscal year. So, we had budgeted to finish up this year with $1.8 million. We've got $2.2 in the bank account. So we're gonna come in under budget again this year.
We did make the bond payment.
It
just didn't come out till September 1. So.
Okay. So that middle account there, the interest in sinking account, how much was that payment?
$1,098,000.
So that middle account there it's got a little less than $100,000 in it. Capital trust funds, $7,178,000. We're in good shape as far as our accounts go. And water usage report. Sold 12 million gallons last month as opposed to last August we sold 31 million gallons. That big rain we had really helped out with regard to people watering their yards. So didn't really sell a whole lot of water last month. Wheeler Branch report. What's that?
I said the park usage was down a little bit last month, but that's the way they got hot.
Yeah, they were, and way down compared to last year, but, and it's, this, I don't really understand what's been going on with the park, but the, you know, the virus causes people in the Metroplex to do more day trips, and, you know, it's just really fluctuates a lot, but.
When does the city switch back to reservoir water? October, is it not?
I think it, yes, ma'am, it's October. That's all we've got. But even, I mean, still looking at the park, we generate for the year, we have $111,000. So the park, you know, that's another year that it's actually made money, as opposed to what we spent on it.
And the bridge?
I've got a guy designing the footing for the bridge right now. So we're going to do the bridge here pretty quick. We're going to have to get that bridge done before the end of the year.
What about our plan upgrade? Any news on that?
Yeah, there is some news on the plan upgrade. We had a meeting with the engineers last week, and you know, his first comment was, y'all's plant makes THMs really, really well. Which that's not a good thing. And you know, they're telling us, we were hoping that we were gonna just be able to change the chloramines and get rid of that nano, and he said, man, that scares me. If y'all just change the chloramines, we're still going to exceed. Just because for some reason our lake has just a lot of, what's it called?
Organics
in it. Yeah, I mean, there's just, we're uncommonly more. I don't know if it's the cedars. Yeah, it's got to be the cedars, because we were making, you know, it had it in it from day one. But yeah, we've got a lot of organics in that lake, and they're afraid that you know, based on all the results from all the tests, here's what they're recommending. They're recommending we've got to go to the chloramines, and then we're going to go ahead. They're moving forward with how we're going to go about doing it. We're going to leave that nano in place, and you know, switch to chloramines and use both of them, and hopefully, you know, we can phase off of that nano. You know, at a minimum, you know, they're thinking about just doing some things to the nano to help us out. But if we keep the nano and we do the chloramines, for sure we're gonna have better results. That's gonna solve our problem. We were hoping to get rid of that nano skid.
Right.
And just blend it.
And just, but they're thinking we're gonna continue to have to use the nano.
Warmer skid. Seasons, you think? Use the nano in the warmer seasons? Because that's when it's the worst.
That was my suggestion to them, and they said, you know, they said it's, y'all might be able to do that. It's a little bit difficult to store that nano. It doesn't like to sit idle. You know, we may have a set up some kind of a process where JD just runs it a little bit during the day. But yeah, they don't like those membranes to set up set idle for a very long period, because they freeze up. So anyway, I mean, I like that engineer. Those guys are really smart, and they don't want to overpromise us that we can do chloramines and pull that thing offline. But it's still, you know, it's 50-50. I think for sure, you know, the chloramines is going to work out for us, but it's 50-50 as to whether we can completely eliminate that nano or not. But we'll just have to see.